Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Fever Podcast. This is episode 19. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth, and I'm joined today by Matt Desend.
Hello, hello.
And by his brother, Aaron Desend.
Hi.
Hello there. It's good to have you on the show today.
Thank you.
He's a little shy. This is his first podcast, I believe. Well, yeah. Me and him did a couple podcasts back in the day, but this is his first, I don't know.
One that's actually on a website or something.
Yeah,
like that.
First one that's on a website.
All right. Well, hope you enjoy talking.
Yeah, no, I love talking about video games, so.
Okay.
My thing.
Okay, right. So let's just dive right in then to talking about what we've been playing. I am kind of just assuming, maybe I'm going out on a limb here, assuming that we have all been playing a little bit of Splatoon in recognition of, celebration of the lovely little Splatfest.
So I have sadly been super busy with work and I'm in a play in my local town. So I really wanted to get on Splatoon when they announced the whole tower control was coming out. So I hopped on.
Yeah, that too.
And then I was extremely angry to find out that the ranked matches, like the map rotation, switch every 4 hours. So I can't even pick the mode that I actually want to play. So I did not get to play tower control, which annoyed me. And then I got on early morning on July 4th, and I played about 3 rounds for the Splatfest. And I picked dogs because Team Dogs is the only team that anyone should have picked. Right, Holly?
Well, I think the sad thing is that most people did pick it, and I think Team Cat... When does the Splatfest end?
It ended today, yeah.
Team Cat got obliterated, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they did. I think it was like 160 so to 120 or something. It was...
Yeah.
But I guess somebody had said that the percentage of wins was actually higher for Team Cat, but more people overall picked Team Dog. So
what?
Yeah, that's what I read, but you know, it's the internet, so...
So it's a popularity contest?
I have no idea. I'm not sure how it works.
Yeah, that's odd. Another odd thing to me is that friends-only mode, not even an option
during the
Splatfest.
There's a lot of really, once again, like as fun and as amazing as a game that Splatoon actually is, they keep making really bad decisions with it. I
feel like they hold it back from what it really could have been.
I think so too. I think that the decisions, like the map rotation decision, this whole Splatfest, which the idea of the Splatfest is super cool, but why are they limiting it to, I don't know, like if me and you, what team did you pick, Holly? Team Dog or Team Cat?
I'm Dogs, but I picked it. Did you pick it because you like dogs?
Yeah, I picked it because I'm actually, I don't like cats.
Okay. I was kind of the same way. I almost wish I picked Team Cat just because I feel so bad for them.
But there's no reason why me and you should not have been able to team up and play rounds together in support of our dog team. But they don't. They didn't even allow it. Like, it's just, I don't know, just a lot of weird decisions.
Is this something that's going to be happening again? Or
yeah, they're going to do Splatfest. I think, I don't know if they're planning, it's not like a once a month type thing. It's just like every so often they're going to do these event themed competitions.
Okay.
But. Yeah, another weird thing about the Splatfest is that you cannot play Splatoon online during a Splatfest until you pick a side. And literally, after you pick a side, Splatfest is the only thing you can do. So ranked battles are not there. Oh. And that's really the only other mode. But you don't have tower control or splat zones during a Splatfest at all, as far as I could tell.
Yeah, no, that's the way it works. Like, everyone is being funneled into. And here's the thing is, I feel like Nintendo, because they don't want to go out of their way to spend a ton of money on server costs, because, you know, the online for Nintendo is free, which is cool and awesome. But I almost wonder if that's limiting them to do these kinds of things. Because if they're able to funnel all of their players into 3 maps at a time, that means they can put all their server power into those 3 maps. So there's not a huge worry about, you know, communication problems or lag problems. Because at any given time, there's only 3 maps during the Splatfest that actually need servers to actually push power behind them.
I couldn't imagine why it would be such a big spend on servers when it's just that single game that Nintendo's like working on for online stuff. There's not much they do online.
I don't know either, and that's the thing, that's it's a very annoying thing. Like, even Mario Kart Online allows you to, you know, have multiple selections every round, and it's a random selected course. Like, there's a lot of things that they could change
I feel like it's just a design decision on their part, more or less, you know, not constraints for server space or worrying about how much it's costing them.
I don't know. I don't think they've ever actually commented on why it is they kind of make these restrictions for the online modes that I've ever heard of. Have you, Holly?
I haven't, but it just seems to me that they're just kind of going for this totally random. At the same time, it's not that random, but everything is so random.
It's,
you know,
very
no voice chat
is the problem.
Yeah, no voice chat, so that there's no unfair advantages or whatever, and you're totally randomized online, except when you're when you go in with your friends. But even then, there's no guarantee you're on the same team as your friends, and
yeah.
So
and there's no indicator that a friend is actually playing with you, unless. So the other day, I'm playing Splatoon for about an hour, and then I notice somebody's name, like, hey, that name looks oddly familiar to somebody that I know on Twitter. So I played a couple more rounds, and then finally on Twitter, I hit him up and I said, hey, were you playing with me on Splatoon? He's like, yeah, I saw you were playing. And I was like, oh, cool. It would have been nice to know that you had, I don't even know how long I had been playing with or against him, because the game is just, I don't know. It's a single player, multiplayer game.
Yeah.
But yeah, so no, I have not been playing Splatoon, to answer your long winded question about what we've been playing. I've actually been playing a game for review called Roving Rogues. It's for the Wii U eShop, and it's a very interesting game because it's a 2D platformer, you know, 8-bit/16-bit style. Very neat little soundtrack with it. It's only one or two songs that I can think of off the top of my head, at least in the part that I'm at. But the song's good. The music sounds good. The graphics look very nice. It's a game that starts at the end of an overall game and then works its way back to the beginning. So yep. The very opening scene is you actually killing the main boss, and then you're working from the last level to go to the very first level, and you're finding out the story by collecting these different scrolls, or not scrolls, they're like medallions? Green
Don't
medallions.
They call them totems?
Totems, yeah. Something like that. You collect these three totems in each level, and you get the story about what's going on, and you're working your way backwards. It's pretty cool. The platforming I thought was pretty tight. The main gimmicky, like, move in the game is you can only jump so far, but you have like this magical ability to flash further distances by holding down, I believe it's the Y button. It gives you a reticule and you can move one or two extra spaces and it will flash you forward, either up, down, left, or right. The only or down if you need to get through like these certain platforms. The only problem that I have with that is it doesn't have any inertia to it. So if you aim it diagonal, it doesn't actually like project you that way. Wherever you would have stopped moving, you still stop moving and you kind of just fall downwards. I thought that
there's
that was
no
really
momentum
weird.
With the ability.
There's what?
There's no momentum.
Yeah, there's no momentum with it. There's no continual inertia. If you jump and you do it, you don't keep going forward. You kind of just stop.
Are the jumps precise, or do you need to be pretty precise with
you're
landing and stuff?
There's certain parts where you want to have that extra momentum, though. You know, it's the controls are tight. It just feels, I don't know, it feels odd. Like, the controls, because of that one reason, are almost, not off-putting, but they're just kind of like a hurdle at sometimes, it feels like. Are you playing it too, Holly? You kind of said, uh-huh, as if you knew what I was talking about.
I am playing it.
What do you think of the controls?
There's nothing overly wrong with the controls, if you ask me. It does take a little bit of practice to get used to that warping ability, but I do like the fact that there are, like, certain walls or obstacles that you can warp through, but not all walls.
Yeah. The level design that I've seen so far in the first, I think, 6-7 levels that I've played, I think the level design's pretty cool. And I like that the levels are short enough that you can breeze through a lot in a short period of time. And then that if you miss like one of the green totems, you know, the pickups, the special things, it's not a hassle to go back and replay that level.
There's a thing or two. I'm not a huge fan of the music, honestly.
Oh, yeah?
The graphics, they're pretty good. I do like that, you know, 8-bit style.
It reminded me a lot of that 1001 Spikes. I thought it looked a lot like that.
Yeah, it does look a little bit like 1001 Spikes.
Which I never played.
Oh, that's a good game.
You know, I actually kind of have planned to talk about it as a feature one of these times, like difficulty in games, and it should be an interesting discussion, especially considering the fact that any game that is, like, known to be overly difficult, I avoid, man, if I can.
This game's definitely not overly difficult that I've seen so far. I feel like it's a very much a It's not a my first platforming game, but it's like that intermediate level where it's like there's some cool little challenges that I've seen so far, but nothing that should like say like you can't touch this. And I'm interested to see, because normally you go from easy, you know, at the very beginning of the game to hard towards the end of the game. But this game, you're actually working backwards.
I was going to ask you, like, so it gets easier as you're playing it?
I don't know. I haven't. How far have you made it into it, Holly?
I'm just a couple levels in. Okay, so far, there's no difference in difficulty. The first level, super easy because you're just learning things. But the next couple levels after that, and I haven't gotten past this, are just, you know, climb to the highest point because there's lava rising. Yeah.
The first, so the very first dungeon area where it's, I think it's five levels or the first area. Those ones all have you climbing. And I think the reason why it has you climbing, because if you would have played it in the other direction, I keep trying to think of this like the best way possible. Like, I think that if the game would have been played from beginning to end, you would have actually been going from top to bottom. So the idea is you're trying to go from bottom to top now because you're going in reverse order. But once you get to the next area, you're actually going to go from left to right.
Okay. I'm kind of looking forward to that, just a change of pace, but yeah. I haven't played the game for that long. So my favorite part about it, though, so far is actually these little, are they scrolls or... I think it's just at the beginning of every level, you get a message from one of the characters.
Oh, yeah.
From it's that level.
Pretty they funny have, writing.
Yeah, they have handles, like Twitter handles or Instagram handles, however you want to look at it. They use hashtags, and it takes place in kind of this medieval type world, and yet you get this scroll, this old, you know, worn out scroll. But it has, you know, their Twitter handle plus a message plus some hashtags. And I really like how they did that. Obviously, it's totally out of place, but that's definitely my favorite part about the game so far.
Yeah, there's a good amount of little humor to it. But that's honestly about all that I've been playing is that game. I also put in just a little bit of time into Metroid Prime, but I don't want to talk about that because I want to save that for our midway discussion.
Yep, which will be maybe next week or the week after. I don't know. I'll have to... mark that on my calendar for sure. But Aaron, are you playing anything different than us that you want to talk
about?
Yeah,
I'd say it's probably different. I'm in the process of moving, so I've been playing a lot of my Vita. I've been playing No Heroes Allowed No Puzzles Allowed, No Heroes Allowed Either, or something like that. It's just like a puzzle game with some RPG elements to it. And a lot of collecting for different monsters and stuff. That's the pretty neat game that I've been playing. It's like the third time I'm playing through it now.
it's a free to play game for the Vita, but it's only $10 to unlock it, right?
Endless play. And it was fun enough that I just paid the $10, which is honestly the first time I've ever put any money towards a free to play game. But it was just to buy the game outright. That and Persona 4 I've been playing a lot of, just because I'm kind of working on a second playthrough, trying to get some random trophies that I wasn't able to get before. I'm a big Persona fan.
I have no experience. I'll just say it outright.
It's a pretty big Sony franchise, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess it would explain it.
Well, it's a Sony franchise, but it's owned by Sega. Sega's the main developer behind it, right? Like, they're the housing for it.
So, let me think. Well, the Shin Megami Tensei series.
Atlas.
Yeah, it's Atlas. They go on all the systems, more or less, but the Persona series, from what I've seen, is mostly on
Sony,
except for that Persona Q on the 3DS.
But yeah, so I mean, they're definitely branching out. It'd be interesting to see if they would ever like want to like move over.
Well, they did the fighting games, the Persona fighting games. That's on 360.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
But those are offshoots of the series, more or less.
Well, the Persona Q game is like a mix between Persona and
Persona 3, if I'm not mistaken,
and then also Etrian Odyssey. Like you're using characters from both of them. In a dungeon crawler.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird mixed game is from what I understand. Yeah. That puzzle game's pretty cool though.
Oh yeah.
I've played a little bit of it as well.
I played too much of it. So it's a good time killer.
Cool. It sounds a little bit like, and I haven't even played this, but Puzzle and Dragons Z.
Yeah, I think that's
It's a match three game, right?
Yeah.
And you use different powers to beat the monsters, right?
Well, no, it's like you are pretty much playing as the bad guy, and all the you get three heroes that come into your dungeon, and then you got to play the match three game and whatnot. And each of those heroes, you capture those heroes, and then after you capture them, you put them into your mines. And then once they're in their mind, in the mind, then you can you get different resources to level up your monsters, and that's what gets you to progress through the game, because it gets pretty challenging later on. I'm on a New Game Plus mode right now that's just ridiculous, but it's still a ton of fun. What's really nice about the Vita is you can play like your own music while you're playing the game, and that's a really great game to play that with. So that's why cool. That's a good time killer with that. So
he usually listens to our podcast while he plays the game as well. So he hears our voices.
Yeah.
Whoa. Jeez, pressure. Sometimes I don't realize people actually listen to us. But
I'm going to have to listen to myself this week, so.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
You're going to be like, I didn't know I sounded like that.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, we'll move on to our feature now. Today, we're going to be talking about our favorite and least favorite video game genres. And given some examples in each of those that really, you know, shows why we like that genre so much. And so we're each going to pick two favorite genres and two least favorite genres and just throw out some examples of games in those genres. So, Matt, do you want to get us started on that? I just have on the notes here a list of all of the genres that I thought were, you know, the most well-known ones, I guess. And so you can just pick from those.
Yeah, you know, genres are an interesting thing because, like, it's fun to always, like, kind of, I like this genre of games, or this genre of music, or this genre of movie. You know, like, it's a very easy thing to kind of categorize things that we like into. But anymore, there's so many, like, genre-mashing games. I mean, there's a lot of puzzle games nowadays that have a ton of RPG elements. So that's a puzzle RPG. You know, it's not just one genre anymore, but overall, I think it's still easy to say, like, a puzzle RPG at its core is still a puzzle game. You know, you can still classify it pretty easily in that regard. So when it comes to the genres that I loved when I was growing up, I would say, like, I loved, like, simulation games, you know, like The Sims and stuff like that. And that's kind of fallen by the wayside today, as generic as an answer as this may sound, especially because this is a Nintendo-focused podcast, but I would have to say that platforming games are one of my favorite genres. I mean, Kirby's Adventure for the NES is still one of my favorite games of all time, and that's the game that I would definitely like say, like, if you want to play a cool platforming game, I'd bring that game up, besides, like, you know, New Super Mario Brothers U or something. New Luigi U is a great, you know, platforming game and stuff, but Kirby is the game that I kind of have to stick with when it comes to that. You know, the other type of game that I really enjoy would honestly be fighting games. I mean, I wish there was more fighting games coming to the Wii U.
There really isn't anything.
No, the only thing, the only fighting game, okay, so there's only been, I think, like three or four. It's been Injustice, mm-hmm. Tekken Tag Team, and maybe something else?
I was surprised Mortal Kombat X didn't come out to it.
Yeah, because it was still during that first beginning time period. Well, you
know,
I
don't know if they released a 360 and PS3 version to it ever.
I don't think it was. I think it was an Xbox One, PS4 only game.
That
but
could be why.
I would have loved to have played another.
It was okay.
I've heard okay things about it.
It wasn't as good as Mortal Kombat 9, but
it was it good. As good as Injustice?
I did not care for Injustice that much.
I liked
so
Injustice.
I can't really say too much on that.
Especially the story. The story mode in Injustice is actually a very highlight for like a fighting game. Like, yeah. You could sit there and watch the cutscenes as like a little mini movie. But anyway, so fighting would be another one of my favorite genres of games. When it comes to least favorite games, I would probably but going back to fighting real quick.
What would be your favorite fighting game?
Yeah, my favorite fighting game. I don't know if so wrestling games. Would you classify that as a fighting game?
That's a good question.
Or is that its own genre?
Is that a beat-em-up?
That is not a beat-em-up. Some of them are beat-em-ups.
Depending on what one it is, I'd almost put it under sports.
Yeah.
It's definitely a sports entertainment.
Yeah, sports simulation of some sort.
Now we're genre mashing again. Yeah. So I'm just going to say that wrestling games are fighting games because it's two people or more going up against one another. Yeah. So I'm just going to put it under fighting for right now, I guess.
If you couldn't put it under fighting, then you would have to say anything with, like, a combo system and stuff like that. That's fighting games. Like, that doesn't have combo system stuff, but still, you could consider it fighting.
You have to build up your special.
Oh, there you go.
Before you can use your finishing move.
That is a fighting game for
you. And you have to wear them down, so. And there's a time limit. I don't know. Anyway, but my favorite wrestling game, which I'm going to classify as fighting because I just don't know what else to put it under, is the Fire Pro Wrestling series. That's my favorite genre, or my favorite wrestling game. They're awesome. The Game Boy Advance games are great. a Super Nintendo game is amazing, and eventually I'm going to buy the PlayStation 2 game as well. So, Fire Pro Wrestling. As it goes to least favorite genre, least favorite genre is probably going to have to be RPGs?
Oh, no.
I know you don't like MOBAs.
I don't like MOBAs. Well, I actually don't mind MOBAs. Okay. I've grown to kind of like MOBAs more. But RPGs, so here's the thing. As much as I like them, if I'm going to pick a least favorite genre of game, it's going to be an RPG, because I'm not going to go after an RPG before I go after a first-person shooter or an action-adventure game or a sports game even. Mm. You know, Xenoblade Chronicles 3D I'm really, really enjoying, and I think it's awesome, and I'm having a great time with it. But even that has kind of fallen by the wayside. You know, I love the game, but it's not the very first game that I think of to buy or to get normally. I just got it because I know it's a good game, and I know it's something I want to play. But, yeah. And when it comes to, like, a game that I want to highlight for, like, RPGs that I'm not a big fan of, you know, it'd probably be something like a Final Fantasy game. You know, I love Final Fantasy VII, but, like, I don't want to play it again, probably. Final Fantasy X, I actually want to try to replay, even though my brother's been playing it recently, yeah. And he says it doesn't quite hold up like we remember it holding up.
I'm not too fond of it, to be honest.
And then...
Oh, you're hurting my heart, but...
it's not that it's a bad game or anything. I wasn't under the impression that it was such a linear game compared to the other Final Fantasies. Oh. My favorite Final Fantasy is Final Fantasy XII, so that's saying something towards the series. Yeah,
especially
because
it's more of an MMORPG stylized, yeah. Like it's not an actual MMORPG. Yeah. But okay,
well,
and then
I'm not even
other...
into Final Fantasy. It's just RPGs that I like. I'll get into that
RPG
eventually.
Fan. I'm sure her list is going to be RPG and RPG, but you can't pick it twice. So the other least favorite is going to be beat 'em up. Actually, beat 'em up hack and slash. So I don't dislike them. I want to make this very clear. Like Bayonetta, I've been playing Bayonetta 1. I haven't started Bayonetta 2 because I want to beat Bayonetta 1 first. But I really, really like playing Bayonetta. But I don't like God of War. And I don't like, there's like a couple other
what about
examples.
Batman Returns on Super Nintendo?
I don't like Batman Returns. Or Superman Returns?
No, Batman Returns.
Or, I don't like Batman Returns or Superman. Like, I'm not a big fan of those old school... Super
Double
Nintendo,
Dragon, and
yeah, no,
we used to play those all the time.
We used to, but if I have to pick a least favorite genre, beat 'em up is going to be one of those least favorite genres for me. So, and when
okay,
it comes
I can
to,
take it.
And when it comes to an example, God of War. Like, yeah. I've played God of War. I know why people like God of War, but I'm just not a fan of God of War.
God of War 3 is pretty incredible.
It is pretty incredible. The very first mission where you're climbing up a Titan, that's pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie, but. It's not my favorite. It's definitely a least favorite genre compared to a favorite genre. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and then whoever's next.
We'll go with Aaron. Favorite genre?
Favorite genre. My favorite genre of all time would have to be real-time strategy games, I suppose, actually, out of anything. Just because I put probably the most time out of any video game ever into Rome Total War on the PC. I spent a ridiculous amount of time on that, and so that, I can't really think
and
of
Age
of
Empires.
Czar. I played a ton of Czar, which no one's probably ever heard of, but I'm a big fan of that. Age of Empires, yes.
That was literally the first game I told Holly about. When we had like our opening episode, we talked about like games we like to play, and she said she liked real-time strategy games, mm-hmm. and I asked her about Czar, and she told me no.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well,
but we both like Age of Empires and Age of Mythologies.
Age of Mythologies. I wasn't a big fan of Age of Mythology compared to Age of Empires, but
Age of Mythology.
Oh, well, it was cool. I have problems with the heroes not being able to die and stuff. There's some weird balancing things with that compared to the older ones. But yeah, I'm a really big real-time strategy fan. The Total War series, pretty much out of any of those, even though the newer ones aren't the greatest. And then my second favorite would have to be, I enjoy me some RPGs. I don't know. I like, if it's a good enough one, I enjoy it. Like I was playing through that, on my brother's DS
World's End With You.
Yeah. The World Ends With You. Ooh. Like that. Everyone says that's a pretty fantastic game. I could not play it worth the life of me. I just could not get into
it. I hate the combat system.
Yeah. It was the combat. And I also did not care for the characters.
Interesting.
the characters are a pretty big part if I want to spend like 60 hours into a video game. That's kind of why I like Persona 4 so much, or the Persona series a lot. They have really great characters in them. But a favorite RPG of all time, I would say Legend of Dragoon on the PlayStation 1. That one was pretty fantastic back in the day. I played a lot of it recently, too, and it's still really great. That and Xenogears. Xenogears on the PlayStation 1. That was, it's a really fantastic game that I feel like more people should play someday. Least favorite, that's a hard one because I like video games. So.
Yeah, but do you like party games or music games?
Music. Like music. What? Why would you bring that up? Music games are great.
Yeah, why would I?
They're
not,
okay.
Would I dislike music games? And I party like... games, you got the WarioWare series and whatnot. That's a party game, I'd say.
It's not really a party game. It's more like a mini game collection.
Mini game collection. I guess know. Then. Point and click games, I guess I would put on my least favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
I really thought you would have been a big fan of those.
No, I like. You know, I tried playing. What did I try playing recently that I just could not get into was Grim Fandango. Yeah, I tried playing Grim Fandango.
Don't say that, because supposedly it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody can be wrong somewhere, so. I couldn't get into it just because I've been noticing I have a hard time sticking with certain games. And if I'm just not seeing where I'm supposed to be going and stuff, and if I have to turn to a strategy guide, I especially when it comes to point and click games, if I'm turning to a strategy guide, then it's completely pointless for me to be even playing it, almost. And so anything skill based, I like a lot more than point puzzles. And click. Yeah, puzzles and stuff like that. Like
especially because most puzzles in point and click games are so obscure.
Yeah, they're like, out there.
You could literally see like a stove, mm-hmm. and then you could see a pot, and then you could see a water, you know, a faucet, and it's like, oh, I got to boil hot water here. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out that you're actually supposed to put hot water into it before you start to boil it. Otherwise, the puzzle doesn't open. You know, it's like very weird, like obscure things that don't make any sense.
Like I was trying to put that one on the Vita, that zombie game that came out.
Oh, that's the monster or the monster bag.
No. Oh. That was okay. That was interesting. Okay. But no, it was like Silent Hill, but it's 2D. The Lone Survivor or something. Not Lone Survivor.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You know what we're talking about, Holly?
Nope, I don't.
I think it's called Lone Survivor.
Could be. But I really wanted to enjoy that game
a lot.
All Alone?
That.
Yeah, it must be.
All Alone?
Yeah, something like that. I really wanted to enjoy it, but it had so many little point-and-click things to it that I could not figure out the puzzles for the life of me. Yeah. And I like horror games a lot, but it just wasn't really too much of what I cared for too much. And then I guess the only other one would be MMORPGs. I'm not a big MMO type person. It's called Lone Survivor.
It is called Lone Survivor.
Yes. So, yeah, don't look that game up. It's pretty fun. it is okay. Even though I was saying I didn't care for it. Even though I did start playing The Elder Scrolls Online recently over at a friend's house, and I actually was quite surprised by how much I cared. I liked it. But comparatively, most MMORPGs I tried, my brother Cameron, he was huge into World of Warcraft, tried on so many occasions, bought me an account, tried on so many occasions to get me to play with him, and I'd get to like level 5 and I'd be like, well, I feel like I've played this already and I'm done, I guess. And he never understood it. He's like, well, you gotta get to the level cap, you gotta fight the end bosses and stuff. Like, I just could not even fathom myself wanting to. It's just too much. It's too much of a commitment, almost.
Yeah, that's my brother in Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah. See, so. I've wanted to try it. I don't mind playing MMOs if they're a good time and whatnot. But half the time, it seems like I'm putting more effort into it than it's giving me. You know, so.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
interesting.
It.
Interesting ones. I was a huge RuneScape fan back in the day. That was my big MMORPG.
We played a little bit.
I remember RuneScape.
Yeah. Oh, classic. Anyway, as for me, easily my favorite genre is RPG. So there you have it. I'm just going to throw out something besides Xenoblade Chronicles 3D or, you know, the original, because that one's spoken of so much. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw out there the Pokemon series. I still play those. I've always loved them.
Yeah.
And I have an amazing collection of Pokemon, so.
Every time a new Pokemon game is announced, like, there is a part of me that's like, I should get back into it. Because they're good RPGs, they're fun, they're straightforward, you know, like, they're not like this, like.
You don't
like,
need a lot of knowledge to get into them at all.
Exactly,
yeah.
Like.
Even if you don't care for Pokemon, they're still a fun game.
Yeah, and I think that they're solid enough that I would have fun playing it. I just feel like it's just something that, I don't know, maybe I just left it behind in my past. I don't know. But I did buy, I do have gold, silver, and yellow for the Game Boy. So maybe I'll just try to replay those ones again.
Try silver again. Silver's good.
Yeah, good choice. Yeah. So yeah, easily my favorite. Probably my second favorite. You guys are going to think I'm crazy, but rhythm games. And it just kind of depends on the rhythm game for the most part.
Just the Guitar Hero and Rock Band?
No, I think those are...
Elite Beat Agents, how about that?
Yes. Elite Beat Agents. Yeah, that's a fantastic example of why I love the rhythm genre.
Have you ever tried Guitaro Man?
Whoa, no. Never even heard of that.
That's on the PS2 and the PSP. That's a lot like Elite Beat Agents.
Ah.
Yeah. Okay. And you just play as a crazy dude that gets a guitar and he becomes a superhero, and it's a really Japanese game, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so, you know, Elite Beat Agent's a good example. The Rhythm Heaven games I love as well. And
about games like I think it was called Lumians on the PSP?
I don't even know what that is. Well, there's a game on the PSP called Patapon that I believe is a rhythm game.
Yeah, but like, so those games are like, they're rhythm Tetris. Games, but they're like puzzle rhythm games. You know what I mean? Like, they have like rhythm elements, and if you do things on the beat, it helps you perform better. But if you don't, you can still like kind of progress, just not as well. Like, do you consider those kinds of games still rhythm games, or would you say they're more puzzle games?
That's a good question, but I haven't played anything like that, so I can't say.
Okay, so no answer is the best
answer. I personally wasn't the biggest fan of that Luminous game.
Luminous? I remember it was a pretty popular game.
I got the one
game
on the Vita, and it I didn't care too much for it. I thought I was going to be a big, big fan of it, because I like Tetris-type games and stuff a lot. I need a Tetris for the Vita at some point.
It's not a Tetris-y game, though, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, the rhythm genre, it's kind of a crazy one to be a fan of, especially when you've got, like, Just Dance and things like that that are super popular, but you know, hardcore gamers
really need
sneer
rhythm for
at
that,
them.
Though.
No, you don't need rhythm.
That's a good point too.
You just need to shake the Wiimote.
Yeah. So you know what? If rhythm games, you know, were if the rhythm genre was represented by better games, then I think it'd get a better rap. But as it is, it's kind of so-so. But as for least favorite, again, easily for me, my least favorite genre is actually sports. Not counting racing games, though. I like most racing games that I have played. So just pretend that I'm not talking about racing games, just sports games. Never played a sports game that I actually liked.
You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy about sports games? If sports games are done right, they're more of an RPG than they are anything else.
That's
like the majority,
kind of what I've heard, actually.
I mean, especially like the soccer ones, they're the ones that are really the ones to get into if you want to.
Teams, all that,
you're not only building up teams, but you're building up individual players, and you're getting their stats up, and you're trying to become the best soccer club. I mean, there are, you know, there's some games that are on Android and iOS. They're called the story games, and they're simulation games. But there's things like Game Dev Story and Magazine Mogul, and there's one about a soccer team, and like they're simulation games, but really they're like these RPGs. And whenever there's like RPG elements thrown into games, it always makes things just a little bit more like enticing or
involved.
Yeah. And sports games, when done right, boy, they're RPGs at heart. You know,
now you said you didn't. There's no sports games that you cared for before. Does that include like NBA Jam or
those
NFL
are?
Blitz?
I feel like those are more like arcade games. And I like those
arcade
ones, all
okay.
right.
Yeah, I
not much,
with that.
But all right. And on that note, arcade is another genre that I'm not a huge fan of. I don't have that drive to just play the same thing again and again and again just for high scores.
Why do you play Mario? But don't. That was a joke. That was a joke.
Whatever.
Or Donkey Kong for you. Oh, we got to ask Aaron the question. What? That's the last question of the day. All right. Anyway.
Okay.
I agree with you about arcade though. Like, there are some arcade games that grab me, and I play over and over, and I try to get the high score, but it's very, very rare. Like, arcade games, when done right, are so much fun.
I feel like arcade games are going somewhere different now, because you got something like Spelunky. That would be considered an arcade game back in the day. That's something you played through. It's a roguelike, but I feel like it's something that would have been in arcades back in the day, and that would have been really huge. You know?
What about Rogue Legacy? Like
Rogue Legacy is more like Castlevania, Metroid. Yeah. Type
Not Metroid. Game. Well, kind of.
Because you're never gaining anything playing through it. No, you know?
That's true, and that is like an arcade game where you die and you start from scratch.
Yeah,
and
then you just take what you learned from the last play time. You know, and so I feel like arcade games are kind of
evolving.
Going in a different direction nowadays.
I think that
with
even
indie
though,
games, that's what's really. Because, I mean, a lot of people nowadays they grew up on arcade, you know, around arcades and stuff. So I feel like that's probably.
We're seeing a lot of that genre-esque in games, but, you know, I would say that an arcade game, when done right, doesn't have to rely on a high-score mechanism. But when a game relies on a high-score mechanism as an arcade game, you really have to hope that enough people want to be the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah. I guess I haven't played any arcade games that were done right, as you say. So,
well, have you ever tried, Geometry Wars?
Nope.
Geometry's Oh, that's a good arcade game right
Both
there.
Of you.
There's actually a great version of it for the Wii.
Yeah, Geometry Wars 2.
It's not called Geometry Wars 2, but for the Wii, there's one that was made specifically for it it was like one of Sierra's last published games, but it's like, that's a cool one to find. If you can get that for the Wii, it's a good game, and it shows you like all the cool things like that type of arcade shooter can really like equate to.
Like, I've never been a high schooler person at all, but on occasion, if the game's good enough, like me and Matt will get into Tetris battles every once in a while.
Tetris, is that arcade or is that puzzle?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I'm not a huge Tetris fan though, honestly.
Oh,
yeah, I'm just
crazy.
A sad, sad little gamer. Anyway.
Happiness.
So the big question, and we gotta answer this quick, I've already told the guys over at Nintendo Voice, for the listeners who are curious, I am joining Nintendo Voice right after this recording. So look for me there. But the question, Matt.
Yes, the question I'll ask. Aaron, you're stuck on a desert island and you have a working Super Nintendo. But
you have a TV with this Super Nintendo.
Yes, you have everything you need.
Okay, so there's like a power box. Something
yes, you have everything you need to play a Super Nintendo.
I'm sorry, I've been asked this question many times.
That's weird. So then over on your other side, there's two games on two separate rafts.
Okay.
And by the time you get one game off one raft, the other raft will float away. So you can only choose one. Okay. There's no way to get both.
All right.
So you can only choose one. And the two games are
That's understandable.
Donkey Kong Country and Super Mario World. Which game do you go
to get?
That's
rude, because I know Super Mario World will take me many more hours of gameplay time, because, you know, all the secrets and everything, but Donkey Kong Country is a better game.
What?
So.
Oh!
Let's see, what do you pick, though, Aaron? You pick Donkey Kong Country or Super Mario World?
Oh. Is that Super Mario World filled with Super Mario All-Stars?
No, it's just Super Mario World.
Okay,
it can't be the All-Stars edition.
Well, for the soundtrack, I would go with Donkey Kong Country, because I'd be able just to rock out with the soundtrack.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, there you go.
You are the first guest to pick Donkey Kong Country, I believe. Is that right, Holly?
I think so, yeah. Everyone else is like Mario hands down. But
No, absolutely not. Yeah, I know. I'm a way bigger Donkey Kong fan than Super Mario World.
Huh. Well, I like both. It's a really close thing, and if I were on a deserted island, I might just go with Super Mario World, but Donkey Kong Country, close contender, easily.
Yeah. I probably am the only person that would ever say that, actually.
Yeah.
You might be.
Well, you mentioned
in our Hall of Fame.
Mentioning the soundtrack, that's what makes me think, like, I might actually just pick Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah.
And
like,
I do have to...
You know, you turn it on, you'll just be happy from that moment on. You know?
That's how I feel about Mario soundtrack.
It's not as good, though.
Oh.
David Wise, he's the bomb. Anyway, well, thanks for being the... what would the word be?
The
third chair?
As far as... all of the above. And the one to go against Matt, for once. Yeah. And with me, I do have to be the advocate for Donkey Kong Country, because that's kind of the reason we have this question in place. So I'm the Donkey Kong Country person, so go Donkey Kong Country. Anyway, and again, thanks for guesting. To our listeners, we have a little giveaway for you, if you want to participate. And Matt, I actually have to ask you this real quick. Do you have a code for Mighty Switch Force on the 3DS?
I do.
Okay. This week we will be giving away two codes for Mighty Switch Force for the 3DS, United States only. Just because, you know, that's the game for this week, and we have the two codes. So, you know what? You have a great chance. So please enter. enter the giveaway. All you have to do is send us an email or a tweet. You can send us an email at podcast@nintendofever.com, or you can tweet us at just about anything. I'm at Holly Falmouth. You can also tweet at Nintendo Fever. And then as far as Matt goes.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, as always, at OnlyMattDezen. Hit me up on there. Let me know what you think about Donkey Kong and Mario. Let me know what you think of your favorite genres of video games. And let me know what your favorite mixed genre video game is. That's what I'm interested. Do you like, you know, sports simulation? Do you like arcade sports? Do you like puzzle platformers? Do you like puzzle simulations?
Arcade racing games.
Do you like talking head games?
Party RTSs.
Party RTSs.
Oh, that'd be an interesting
Why hasn't one. That happened?
Then Hex I can Heroes. Play...
Yes. Hex When's Heroes. That coming out?
No idea.
Well, hopefully soon. But yeah. Also, please make sure to score and review us on the iTunes store. We're trying to get up on their listings a little bit. And, you know, the only way we can do that is by word of good mouth. And if you write us a bad review, hey, any publicity is better than no publicity. So let us know what you like about us. Let us know what you don't like about us. But whatever the case may be, let us know. Because we can't improve unless we know.
We take constructive criticism well. So you can go ahead and send that if you like. Aaron, do you have a Twitter that you'd like to give out to the people?
No, I do not.
He lives on a lone island that no one ever goes to and doesn't let anyone come on, but he does have a Super Nintendo there.
And Donkey Kong Country.
And Donkey Kong Country,
so I'm a happy man. So
that's all right. It would have confused people anyway. They'd be like, who do I tweet to enter the contest? Anyway, do enter the giveaway, though. Mighty Switch Force for the 3DS. We've got two codes to give away, and we'll let you know probably next podcast, as well as through Twitter or email, depending on which way you send it. Anyway, thanks for listening to episode 19, though. We'll see you for the extra special episode 20. We're going to do something special, so look forward to that. We'll see you in a week.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.